The following audio is from Living Faith Missionary Church. More information about Living Faith can be found at www.livingfaithmc.info.
If you got your Bibles, you want to turn to the book of Mark.
First, I want to tell you a little story. There was a farmer, and he was walking along the road, and he was walking with his dog, and he was walking with his mule, and along comes, around the corner, comes a truck, a speeding truck, going a little too fast, and as he comes around the corner, he doesn't see the farmer and the mule and the dog, and he hits them and throws them into a ditch. So the farmer decides that he's going to sue the young man driving the vehicle for damages. So he takes him to court, and the farmer's sitting on the stand, and the defense attorney walks up to him and says, "Now, sir, I want you to answer me yes or no. When you were at the scene of the accident, did you say that you were perfectly fine?" The farmer sits there and says, "Well, let me tell you." He says, "I was walking with my mule and my dog, and this truck..." No, stop. The prosecuting attorney says, or the defense attorney says, wait a minute. "I asked you to say yes or no to a specific question. So will you please answer yes or no?" And the farmer says, "Well, I was walking along the road with my dog and my mule." The attorney turns to the judge and says, "Your Honor, obviously, this man is not going to answer the question without you telling him he has to." And the judge, being wise, looked at the attorney and says, "Now listen, I think this man has something to say. Let's listen to what he has to say." So the farmer says, "I was walking along the road with my mule and my dog, and this truck came around the corner a little too fast. He hit us. He threw us into the ditch. The guy stops the truck. He gets out. And he looks at my dog, and my dog is hurt really bad. So he goes back to his truck, grabs his rifle, shoots my dog. Then he looks at my mule. My mule's leg is broken. So he goes, he takes his rifle, and he shoots my mule. And he looks at me, and I say, 'I'm perfectly fine.'" You see, sometimes we need to listen to what somebody is going to tell us, because they have something important to say. Open your Bibles to the book of Mark. We are in chapter 4 of Mark. We're going to read quite a bit. We're going to read verses 1 through 20. I'm going to ask that you stand as we read God's word in honor of God's word. If you can, if you can't, that's fine. It's not dishonorable. God knows your heart, which is what's most important. It says again, "He began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat it on the sea, and the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching he said to them, 'Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And the other seeds fell among good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, 'He who has ears, let him hear.' And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. He said to them, 'To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but to those outside everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven.' And he said to them, 'Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. And these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown to them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And then they have no root in themselves, but endure for a little while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises on the account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among the thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on the ground, the good soil, are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold 60-fold, and 100-fold. This is God's word for God's people. Hear it and believe. Father, we praise you for your word. As we walk through this parable, Father, open us up. Till our soil and plant this seed in us. Amen. You may be seated. So Jesus is teaching in a boat because there's so many people, and he begins to teach in parables. And we got to say, why was he teaching in parables? And he tells us the great thing about the book of Mark, parts of the book of Mark. I mean, Jesus explains some of these things. In the next couple weeks, we're going to get to things he doesn't explain. So I'll explain to you what he means. But he's telling them to the disciples because they were meant to know the truth. But there are those in the world who were not meant to know the truth. And what truth they had was going to be taken away from them. You know, he ends that parable with, those who have ears to hear, let them hear. Now, I'm asking, everybody grab your ear. Grab your ear. Okay, we all have them, right? But are you ready to hear? Can you really hear what God is saying? Not everybody can. Not everybody can all the time. I'll be honest with you. There are times I don't hear God. Or kind of like my kids, Caleb and Abigail, Beth will call them from downstairs, and I know they hear her. But until I go, Caleb, then he hears. Because he knows my voice. He hears my voice no matter what. But they don't always hear mommy's voice, even though they hear it. And we are that way sometimes when it comes to God. So Jesus is saying, if you have ears, you should be able to hear. You need to listen. And see, Jesus is deciding, what am I going to teach these people? And he's going to use a very powerful symbol. He's going to use seed. You have to understand, this was a farming society. So he's going to use a seed, and that seed is going to represent the word of God. He's teaching them how the word of God works. And what are you going to encounter as you share the word of God? Or, I love this parable because it's got a double edge. How is your heart as you read the gospel? See, what Jesus explains to them is it's not so much the word as it is your heart that determines whether or not you hear the word. It's not the ability of your hearing. You could be completely physically deaf and you could still hear the word of God by reading it and taking it in and having it cultivate in your heart. Your heart condition determines your ability to hear the word of God. When you got up this morning and you came in here, your heart condition determined whether or not you're going to hear this message and it's going to actually sink in and change you. Before you sit down and read the word, your heart condition determines how effective that's going to be. It's the heart that matters. And it's the heart that we act upon. This parable is not a parable of non-action. It's a parable of action on all sides. And we'll get to that. I'll talk to you about that a little bit. Because the whole point of it is, Jesus is saying you need to take the truth and you need to act on it. You need to hear it and act on it. Because if you don't, it's going to be taken away from you. The scribes and the Pharisees, they had been given a plain truth. They had been given the scriptures, the word of God. And they couldn't hear it. Because they had put so many things around it. And that truth was taken away from them. The very truth that they had. See, the thing with the gospel is it's a use it or lose it kind of thing. The thing with truth, it's a use it or lose it. If I, you know, let's say that I decide one day, you know, I am so tired of using my left arm. I'm just gonna glue it to right there. And I'm never gonna move it. What would happen to it? Eventually it might fall off. It would atrophy. I'd not be able to use those muscles anymore. It's the same way with the word of God and with truth. If you don't use it, you're going to lose it. If we don't use our mind, if we don't train and teach and stretch our mind, we will lose our mind. Or if you have kids, you'll lose your mind. I don't believe that. I think I'm actually wiser because I have kids. Because if I can figure them out, I can figure out just about anybody. We need to not just take in the truth. We need to take action on it and use it, or we will lose it. I think this is a problem in the church today. Not just this church, but most churches. We've taken in the truth. We've sat and we've listened and we've listened and we've listened and we've done nothing with it. It's made us feel good. But that's not what this parable is about. This parable is not about taking the word in and being happy with ourselves. This parable is about multiplication and growth. So we'll get to that. Luckily, Jesus gives us a definition. He goes through and describes the parable to us. But I want to run through it. So the question is, what does Jesus want us to hear in this parable? What is it that he's telling us? And we already know that the seed is the word of God. So remember that. The seed is the word of God. And so the sower goes out and he starts throwing seeds out. Now, you've got to understand, it's not like it is today. I mean, I don't go to my garden and just go, wee, wee, and throw seeds everywhere today, right? You gardeners know, you don't do that. You dig a row and you plant one seed. You might plant two. I have a problem with planting more than one seed because three of them grow and I don't want to pull the other two up. I don't want to thin them out. I mean, it's growing. Why would I kill it? But in that day, what they would do is they'd go out and they would build channels, but they would just throw the seed and let it land where it needs to land in the field. It's called broadcasting, by the way. It's where the radio broadcasting comes. I think I've told you this before. It's where broadcasting comes from, the idea of it. So the farmer's out and the farmer's sowing the seeds, and the first place it falls is on the path. The hardened path. He spreads the seed first on the path, and those along the path are hard-hearted. They have a heart that is just hard, patted down with life. And what is it? What is it that pats down our lives? And I started thinking about this, and for me, for us, it's busyness. It's things going on in the world that just keep us going from A to B to Q to Z, and all the way back to A. It's this busyness of our life that just hardens our hearts, stamps us down, makes us feel like we've been stomped on. And the word of God comes and it hits our hearts and it bounces off. Now, I'm looking at this, I'm thinking, oh, this is a great evangelism example. Because if I go to somebody and I'm sharing the gospel with them and they're like, I just don't believe. That's a hard-hearted person. But I think there's more to it than this. I think this is about evangelism and spreading the word of God. But I have to question and look at myself and say, are there times when I approach God with a hard heart? Are there times that life is just coming down on top of me? I've got soccer. I've got a sermon to write. I got trees to cut down, trees to trim. I got garden to deal with. I've got a lawn to mow. I've got this person calling me, wanting me to do this. I got stuff I got to do. And my life feels trampled down. And the gospel bounces off my heart and doesn't grow. Because see, those are the times that Satan comes along and he takes it from you. But for somebody who's a non-believer and you talk to them and you share the gospel and it bounces off of them and just sits there, they're taking the word of God. You know what Satan takes from you and me when we have a hardened heart? He takes the joy of our salvation. We have joy in knowing that we are saved. Our God is mighty to save. And we should be joyful about that. That should lighten our hearts. But what happens when it's hardened? Satan takes away that joy. What's interesting, he uses birds. Jesus uses birds in the parables. And we're going to use those parables quite a bit. That was the idea of birds and Satan being the birds. So you have the person who's a hardened heart. So what do you do with somebody who has a hardened heart? Let's say you're going to go out and you're going to share the gospel with somebody, And you have a neighbor who's, man, he is just tough. And he has a hardened heart. Sorry. We'll need a new cord next week. Has a hardened heart. Well, I'm going to be honest with you. There's not a whole lot you can do short of praying for them. Because you can't change their heart. But you know what? The Holy Spirit can tell them. Got it?
Oh, got it.
You know, the Holy Spirit, because a hardened heart with hardened soil needs to be tilled, you know? I had soil that we planted in a new garden. I had to get the big tiller out, the rear tine tiller, and I had to, you know, really bounce on it just to get the soil broken up. That's what needs to happen. And for us, as believers with hard hearts, that's what God does to us. He sends us trials that till us. And does tilling hurt? You better believe it does. But you know what? Afterwards, our hearts are softened. So a hard heart is the first soil that we run into. The next soil is in rocky soil. And the thing with rocky soil is it's shallow. So you have a shallow heart. See, people who have shallow hearts, they have no depth. They don't have a deep, rich soil. And right below that small amount of soil is bedrock. Is usually the hardened heart, to be honest with you. So it grows, it has enough soil to actually sprout up. But then the sun comes and beats on it, and it withers and dies. And as I'm thinking about this, I'm thinking, okay, so I can understand that's, you know, so I go out and I have a neighbor, let's say, who I've shared the gospel with, and they get all excited about it, and they I'm going to start reading my Bible, and it goes for about a day or two, and then it kind of peters away because there's no depth. They don't get into the richness of the word. They don't spend time worshiping God. You understand? That's why we worship. We worship God to get to know him better. And to be enriched by the words that we're singing. Because hopefully when you're singing it, you're meaning it. And so this person may have a shallow heart and it just doesn't grow. And what they need is, if you're somebody who's talking to somebody who has a shallow heart, they need you to come alongside them and walk with them and lead them and kind of break up that soil a little bit. Maybe move that soil over here a little bit to just get away from the rock. This soil is a little bit richer. And to add things. When I have soil that I need to make better that's rocky, what do? I add things to it. Of course, you know what I add to it? I add compost to it. Sometimes God adds compost to our lives. That's what happens when we have believers who have shallow hearts, those that don't dig deep into the word, who just are on the surface, hey, this is great, you know, I like to come to church on Sunday morning, but that's, you know, I get my Jesus shot on Sunday morning and then I go about my week. There's no depth. That's a shallow heart. It's going to die. It's not when the trials come, when the sun beats down, there's nothing to hold on to. And we as believers need to be walking alongside each other and helping those with a shallow heart to say, man, wait a minute. Let's start talking about this. You know, let's start talking about what the Bible says about this. Let's get together and have coffee or tea or whatever. And let's just be together and do discipleship together. See, the problem with a shallow heart is that the Holy Spirit and all the great things of God cannot penetrate fully. They believe up here, but it makes no difference here in their heart, in their emotions, in their day-to-day dealings. It doesn't work. The next soil drops along where the thorns are. This is the divided heart. This is a heart that, you know, that gets pulled in so many different directions. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm always amazed when I go out to my garden and I planted seed, and what's out there? Weeds. I got one bed. We transplanted our asparagus, and I mean, serious, the grass was this tall because I had left it alone. And the grass had grown up along with the asparagus that I put in there. And it choked out the asparagus. Now, the asparagus will come back. But usually, what do you do with thorns? You cut them down, you put them where? In the fire. We had the kids cutting our lilies down. And Beth and I were sitting over and we're like, don't cut the perennials, just the lilies. And we're always worried about that. But, you know, when you're amongst thorns, you can't always tell the good stuff from the bad stuff. When I'm pulling weeds, I sometimes pull up the good plants. But this is a divided heart. You don't know what the soil's like. But they're pulled from all these different things in life. They're more concerned about their job. They're more concerned about making money. They're more concerned about how many toys they have. They're more concerned about this, more concerned about that than they are about spiritual matters. And it separates their heart. It can't grow. So how do you deal with somebody like that? Well, you know, you could walk in and say, you know, you're too materialistic. And you won't get anywhere. First of all, it takes prayer. But you got to be a friend to them. And you got to find time to redirect them. Hold them accountable. Talk to them. Pray that the Holy Spirit changes their way of thinking. And when I'm thinking, how do I recognize that I have a divided heart? It's like, how much time do I spend with God? You know? Do I spend a lot of time with God or I just spend little time with God? Do I read the newspaper more than I read Scripture? Do I pray during the day? See, a believer can have a divided heart. But what does Jesus say about each of these soils leading up to this point? They produce no fruit. See, you and I, the reason we're here is not just to, we're not here just to dust the pews. We're here to produce fruit. Because what Jesus says, he goes, the final seed, falls amongst the good soil. This is the fruitful heart. The fruitful heart. I mean, the Word of God doesn't bounce off the surface. It doesn't just grow a little bit and then die. It doesn't grow up with thorns. It's a heart that produces, multiplies. It doesn't just produce one. It produces multiples. It's a deepness, a deep root. Now, I want to ask you, I mean, how do you grow a healthy plant? What do you do? What are some of the things you do, you gardeners? What do you do? How do you make sure it's healthy? What do you give it? Fertilizer. So yeah, so you give it some stink. I'm sorry, fertilizer doesn't smell good. I've never found fertilizer that smells good. We have trials in our lives. God works through our trials. What else do we make sure it has? Water. We water it. What else? Sunlight. Sunlight. You give it sun, nothing grows in the dark. Nothing. Our lives are the same way. It needs fertilizer, okay? Now, some people tell you talk to your plants. Okay. I have no problem with that. But it needs fertilizer. It needs watered. It needs sunlight. It needs care. Your life, your spiritual life needs care. If it is good seed that lands in good soil, if your soil is rich, it will produce a healthy plant and it'll grow. Okay, so let's see. So God's talking about the Word of God. So the Word of God comes into me. It grows in me. It changes me. I get better. Isn't that why we're here, right? This is why. This is great. This is what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to read the Word. I'm supposed to worship. I'm supposed to be with believers. And I get better. Is that the purpose for what we're here for? What did Jesus say? What does it do? It multiplies. It's not about me. I am being saved for somebody else. It's about multiplication. It produces in me a harvest of character. Yes, the Word of God produces a great fruit in me. But what happens if nothing, if I don't multiply and I die? What good is it? Right? What do I leave afterwards? Except for a dried up old stalk. If I have a, let's say I have my tomatoes. And I pick the tomatoes off. That's great. And I eat that fruit and it enriches me. But what if I don't have any more seeds and don't save the seeds and don't make more? See, it's about multiplication. Galatians 5, 22-23 tells us what it produces in us. It produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's what it produces within us. But that doesn't where it's not where it stops, because Ephesians tells us, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works he created beforehand for us to walk in. Okay? It's not about just the fruit in me. It's about what I do with that fruit that matters. As the plants grow, you know, I take the fruit and I eat it, but there's more than that. In your bulletins, you'll find a little packet, a little plastic thing, hopefully, if they didn't fall out. If you have it, hold it up. Okay, if you don't get one, let me know. I'll make sure you have one. I got plenty of bags. You can only buy these bags in groups of hundreds. I've got 1,000 of them. So you're going to be getting a lot of bags in the future in your bulletins, by the way. That is one seed. One seed. That is a lettuce seed, by the way. I love lettuce seeds because this is a great example. I plant that lettuce seed. What does it do? It creates a lettuce plant. It's actually, that's romaine on the screen. Creates a lettuce plant. What do? I pick off the leaves and I eat them. Then what happens? More leaves grow up. What happens if you leave the plant alone for a while? It starts growing, and then this one stalk comes out of the center. It's called bolting, by the way. And it produces little flowers. Oh, isn't that pretty, right? But what happens when those flowers dry? They become seeds. That is what they look like. That one seed produces hundreds of other seeds. Hundreds. Believe me, I know, because I picked them and had to get rid of the chaff in order to get more seeds. This is the Word of God. This is what the Word of God does. When the Word of God is planted in good soil, it produces a good plant that produces good fruit in us. Then afterwards, at a certain time, when it's ready, it creates seeds. Now, what happens to those seeds? The wind comes along and blows them. I actually had some lettuce that was growing outside of my boxes this spring because the wind had blown some seeds out. You and I are not supposed to just eat the fruit. We are supposed to spread the seeds. And yes, we sometimes spread the seed onto the hard soil. Sometimes we spread it in the shallow soil. Sometimes we spread it to those who have divided soil, the thorny soil. And many times we get the good soil. That is what we do. That is why we're here. That is why that plant was made. That plant, God created that plant, yes, to feed us. You know, I understand that. But you know, that plant's main purpose is to multiply. That's its purpose. Guess what? Your main purpose is to multiply. Your spiritual purpose is to multiply. When Jesus talked about the hard soil, when he talked about the shallow soil, when he talked about the thorny soil, he didn't talk about, yeah, it grew up and it produced a little bit. No, it produced zero fruit. The good soil produced much fruit. and multiplied tenfold, hundredfold, thousandfold. So the question is, what are you producing? Are you producing fruit? Are you just eating the fruit and keeping it for yourself? Are you out producing fruit? That's what I've been talking about for the last year. Your oikos. Now, granted, there are those in my oikos that, and I have dug the soil, I have planted the seed, I am watering it, I am nurturing it, and it's growing. And then I have those other soils that I've got a pickaxe in my hand, and I've already broken three ends trying to dig up that soil. But you know what? I need to do the work. I need to be making disciples and multiplying. That's what this is about. Yes, I have all these different soils at times in my life. I need to make sure that I have good soil in me. But more so, I need to be spreading the gospel. I need to be taking those seeds and throwing them as hard as I can, getting them as far as I can. The gospel provides nourishment for our souls, and we can take the seeds of and plant the word of God in others. We need to receive the word first, and we need to make sure our soil is good. We need to do whatever we can to keep our soil good, but we also need to go and we need to spread that gospel around. That is why we are here. That is why he came. That is why he died. That is why that night he sat with his disciples. We need to listen to God with a heart that is good soil, where the word of God grows, takes growth, and we can share the gospel with others and produce a rich, rich harvest. Next couple weeks, we're going to talk more about this. We're going to talk more about how it happens and what happens when it happens as we are broadcasting the gospel. On that night, it was Passover. And they were celebrating Passover. Passover was a celebration of when the angel of death passed over the Israelites, saved them from the curse, the final plague. Jesus had been wanting to celebrate this with his disciples for a long time. He had done it years past. I mean, he celebrated Passover, but this one was special. So he brought them into the upper room. And he washes their feet, which is amazing to think about. And he told them to be servants to each other. And I'm sure he meant also to those that they would encounter as they spread the gospel. I'm going to ask the deacons to come forward as we take communion. We take it together as a family. We take it together. We will pass out. We'll pray for the bread. We'll pass it out. We'll take it as one group. I pray that you would search your heart as we do this. There's nothing wrong with denying communion, not taking it, if you don't feel your heart is where it needs to be. In fact, I would think it would be better to not take it than to take it foolishly. If you want to find out what happens when you do communion foolishly, read Corinthians. That was the problem in the church of Corinth. They were taking it haphazardly, and they were sick, and they were dying because of it. We take it solemnly, but it's a celebration of what Christ has done for us.
Thank you for listening to this message from Living Faith Missionary Church, located in Yoder, Indiana. Feel free to share this recording with others, but please do not charge for those copies or make changes to the content without our permission. For more information about Living Faith online, go to www.livingfaithmc.info.